Good morning.
Good morning.
I think I'm on.
Move it up a little bit.
Well, I was blessed by the song this morning. It says that, "Thou hast thy throne within heaven and also within my breast." This morning, I hope that heaven is in every one of our breasts, that God is dwelling within us. A few days ago on Wednesday, something happened that really shook me a bit. A brother in the church there in ECSA by the name Baba Angel, he left to go work in the evening, and he was working at road construction, and there was some cable there, and some young people came to steal the cable, and they started beating him up, and the police came, took him to the hospital, and several hours later, he passed away. And you know, this morning, we don't know when we're going to die. We don't know when it's going to be our last time. Every two people die. So that means two people die like that. People are dying. One day, it's going to be our time. We have to ask the question, are we ready? Are we ready to die? Do we have confidence that we are ready? An assurance that we are abiding in Jesus. And John 2:27 says, "Abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed at his coming." When God comes, are we going to be confident that we are ready to go? That we are abiding in him? That the fruits of the Spirit are flowing out of our lives? Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 15. 1-7. John chapter 15, 1-7. Says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruits. Now are ye clean through the words which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and we need you. Lord, we want to abide in you. We want to live fruitful lives, Father. I pray that you would touch our hearts, Father. I pray that you would bind the powers of darkness that want to steal the seed of the word. I just pray that you would come in your fullness, that you would come in our hearts and dwell in us, and that heaven would come into our breasts, that we could see you this morning. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So first of all, Jesus is the vine. Jesus is our source of life. And the Father is the husbandman, or we could say the farmer. He is the vine dresser. He takes care of us. In verse 2, it talks about, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away." So if we're not bearing fruit, he's going to take us away. We'll have no part in Christ if we're not bearing forth fruit. But it says, "But every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it." So if we're bearing fruit, if we have in our mind a vineyard, and we have grapes there, and there's some of them are just producing grapes, if they're producing grapes, the farmer is going to come along and snip some of those that are producing fruit, that they may have more fruit. And it's the same with our lives. If we want to be fruitful, God needs to cut away things in our lives. There is pain and suffering in pruning, but it's God's way of shaping us and molding us into his image. And we don't always realize the reason for them, but God has a reason. We don't know why pain and suffering is in this world, but God has a reason for it. Verse 3 to 4 says, let's just go down to verse 4. It says, abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in me. So, it says, he that abides or dwells in God bears much fruit. But what fruit is he talking about? You know, it says we should abide in Christ. We should be fruitful. He abides in Christ is fruitful. What fruit is he talking about? I'd love to hear your thoughts. And I'd like to write it down. What are your thoughts? What does it mean to be fruitful? What fruit should we be bringing forth?
Love.
Anything else? What's that?
Spreading the good news.
Thank you. Anything else?
Being joyful.
Joy. Or being joyful. Mm-hmm.
Long suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Peace.
Peace. In Galatians 5:22-23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Maybe we should all say all that together. I think we know it. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. So we could just put all those down. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Sorry. So, is this how your life looks? Are we abiding in Christ? I think in the passage, the biggest thing it's talking about is love. Is there love flowing out in John 15, context John 15? Is there love flowing out of our lives? Are we infused with love? Now also, you know, I think fruitfulness has a lot to do with being reproductive. You know, today we have a variety of grapes that I looked at it, but I forget exactly when it was invented, but it's a seedless variety. And I think today we're a seedless variety of grapes. We're not reproductive in our faith. And a faith that isn't reproductive isn't what God is talking about. We need to be reproductive. We need to be spreading the good news. We need to be about our Father's business. So, if these are the fruits of the Spirit, the fruits of what we should be abiding in Christ, what is the fruit of sin, abiding in Satan? What are your thoughts?
Selfishness.
I could write selfishness, take longer, but selfishness. I. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Hatred.
What?
Hatred.
Could also say hate.
Pride.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just say I. Mm-hmm.
Anger.
I guess we could put all these under I. So it's the exact opposite of this. Instead of love, we hate. We hate our brothers. We don't love each other like we should. Instead of joy, we have anxiety. We are anxious. Instead of peace, there's anxiety. We're not at peace with God. There's guilt in our hearts. Maybe there's sin in our lives, and we're guilty. Instead of long-suffering, we're short-fused. Instead of gentleness, we're rough. We're not gentle. Instead of goodness, we're bad. We're perverse. Instead of faith, we're faithless. Instead of meekness, we're proud. Instead of temperance, we're intemperate. So we have to look at our lives and see if we are abiding, if we're bearing fruit of the Spirit, if we're bearing fruit of righteousness or not. And if not, we need to repent and turn to Christ. If we think that we're abiding in Christ and we're not bearing these fruits, are we making God a liar? Or are we lying? You know, all these things we can't just put on. We can't just put these things on. We can try, but it's a mask. It's not true. It's not genuine. We know in the end of verse 5, it says, "For without me you can do nothing." All these beautiful things that we see, without Christ we can't do this. And so we need to be dedicated to Christ. In John 3:6 says, "Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not." And so if we're abiding in Christ, if we're staying in Christ, these things of these pride, hate, anger, all this stuff isn't going to be coming out of our lives. We're not going to sin because we're abiding in Christ. For his seed remaineth in him and he cannot sin. But again, we can't do it without Christ. And so we need to be plugged into Christ. We need to abide in him. I know for myself, looking at my life, when I fail, when I mess up, it's because I'm not fully abiding in Christ. So we need to stay in Christ. We need to dwell in him. Let's go on to verse 6. It says, "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." Turning your Bibles to Mark chapter 9:43. Mark chapter 9:43. There is this belief coming around that hell, that or Gehenna, the lake of fire, isn't forever. But it is. If you look at Hebrews, it says that it speaks of eternal judgment as being part of the basics of the faith. Here it says, "And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." So here it says a couple times, I think three times, it says where the fire is not quenched. So if we just are going to be in hell and after a while we just become no more, the fire isn't quenched. It's never going to stop. We're going to burn forever. And it also says where the worm dieth not. What's that speaking of? I think today we say magnets, where the magnets don't die. Why won't they die? Because they're going to be eating on our rotting flesh. I think it's what it says. And if we would die, they would die. But they're not going to die, because we're not going to die. And if we would get a dread of this is the place of, this is where we will go for not abiding in Christ. Now, it's not like we should, because we fear hell, that we should say, "I'm going to abide in Christ." But The thing is, we are already abiding in hell when we're not following, walking Christ. When the fruits of Satan are coming out of our lives are miserable. But when we're dwelling in Christ, and the fruits of the Spirit are dwelling in our lives, then are we fruitful. Then are we're like living in heaven already. So what is in your life that is keeping you from being fruitful? An app, a relationship, a hobby. What should you cut off from your life that is keeping you from abiding in Christ, from dwelling in God? Jesus is very clear here in this passage that if something is hindering you from abiding in Christ, get rid of it. We need to be radical about getting rid of things that are hindering us from life in Christ. Now, I believe that in our day, Satan's most effective tool to distract us from abiding in Christ is YouTube, AI, the news, and social media. And I think we have to get serious about some of these things. And maybe some people can, but maybe you can't. And if some of these things are keeping you, or distracting you, or taking away your time, we need to get rid of some of these things so that we can live fruitful lives. You know, I don't know how to say this, but there's a song that says, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. That's not biblical. I don't think it's logical to think that we're all going to make it to heaven. It should rather be when a few of us get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. I looked and the 10 years passed and see how many people, it's a very moderate number, it's not accurate, but just roughly about 27 people are not right with God the last 10 years that attended here at Harmony. So let's not think that in 10 years from now, everyone's going to be here, is going to be in a good place. Unless, I want everyone here to make it. But if we're going to make it, we have to get serious about following God, about being fruitful and multiplying. We need to pray for fruitfulness. We need to pray, 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 and then pray some more. We need to live and move in the divine presence. Let's look down, let's turn to John chapter 15. Verse 8 says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples." God is glorified when we have fruitful lives. God doesn't receive the glory if we're not fruitful. And just like, you know, if a farmer has a great vineyard and the grapes don't, there's no grapes, he doesn't receive the glory. And so when our lives aren't giving off the fruits of the Spirit, righteousness and holiness, God doesn't receive the glory. And so it's not about us. It's not about us receiving the glory, but it's about God receiving the glory. Let's go on to verse 11. It says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." I think I forgot to say the title from message. The title from MS this morning is The Abundance of Abiding. And it's from this verse. "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." If we're abiding in Christ, we're going to have an abundant life. And Jesus has given us these things that we might have the joy of the Lord in our hearts. We don't have to be going around with a long face. We can have Christ in our lives. We can abide in Him. Just to help us remember some of these things, I have a little bit of an acronym I like to write on the board. Abide, Can you all see this? Can you all see this in the back? Okay, great. So first of all, we have A. If we abide in Christ, we will have abundance. So he who dwells in Christ is abundantly fruitful. If we're abiding in Christ, our lives are going to be abundant. We're not going to be living stagnant lives. Our lives will be abundant. This is the promise of the Bible. We will have a blessing. God hears the petitions of our heart and answers. God hears our prayers. He gives us our heart. If we ask him to be fruitful, he will bless us and we will become fruitful and we'll receive the blessings of that. We'll have the indwelling. The divine indwelling of our teacher, of God teaching us, leading us, guiding us, and also, and most importantly, maybe not most importantly, but most painfully, maybe we could say, a death to self. Unless we die, Christ cannot be made alive. We need to die. We need to lay down our lives for others in love, in mercy. And if we do all these things, we will have eternal life. John 17:3 says, "And this is life eternal, that we might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." We know God. And eternal life bubbles out of us. Like it says in John 7:3, that there's rivers of living water just bubbling up out of our lives. This is what we can have. Let's not be less than what Christ has given to us. And this morning, today, if you're feeling like this is, like all this is not true for you, like all this that we see is not true for you, God is tenderly inviting you to come and abide in him. He's tenderly inviting you to an abundant, fruitful life. Will you reject him or will you accept him?